For those of you who don't know, my name is CJ, and I'm teaching tonight. So let's go ahead. We're going to be in Philippians chapter 1, and we're going to be starting at verse 12. Okay, but I want you to know, brethren, that these things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. I like the part of this verse that says, I want you to know. Paul was really concerned with, he wanted the believers in the church of Philippi to know that everything was okay. He didn't want them to be confused. He didn't want them to be scared. He didn't want them to be misinformed. He wanted them to know that despite what was happening, God was very much still in control. Now, he probably figured there were some different groups of Christians. There would have been possibly the new Christians who had maybe heard Paul speak and accepted Jesus as their Savior. And now all of a sudden the guy's in prison and they're like, did I just get duped? Like, what did I sign up for? What's going on? They may have thought he was a fake or a fraud or something was wrong. There might have been another group that was the more tentative Christians. They were like, wait a minute. This is not what I signed up for. I have no interest in going to jail for my faith. And that might have kind of freaked them out. And there might have been the third kind that had seen this happen before. Paul had gone to prison before. Him and Silas sang a few songs. Bip, bam, boom. The doors opened. They got released. The magistrate said, let him go. Everything worked out. And now this time, that wasn't happening. They were probably thinking, did he sing? Why isn't everything going the way it had gone last time? We follow this formula and we get these results, and it wasn't happening. So there may have been a group that was kind of confused about what was going on. But nevertheless, he wanted all of these groups to understand, it's okay. Even though I am in jail, things are going according to God's plan, and he is fully in control. See, he was having opportunities to actually witness to people that he would have never otherwise had. Go back to verse 12 and let's finish it out. It says, the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. And most of the brethren in the Lord have become confident of my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. I love that my chains are in Christ. What Paul was saying there was, I am not here for any other reason than that these chains belong to Christ and he is the one that has allowed me to be put in them. He knew that a mistake hadn't happened. God wasn't on vacation and came back and went, what happened while I was gone? He was fully aware of what was going on and fully in control of it. And all of these incredible things were happening while he was in prison. For instance, the books of Ephesians and Philippians and Colossians and Philemon were all written while he was in prison. And we're reaping the benefits of that even still today, right now in this study. The whole palace guard and all the rest were hearing about Jesus, were hearing the gospel, and some were actually getting saved. That probably wouldn't have happened. How else would Paul have been able to talk to them unless he was right there in their midst and they were chained to him and they had to listen to him? It was working out really well. And on top of that, other Christians were being inspired. They were getting courage to go out and speak and share the gospel all on their own. You see, God never wastes our time, and he never wastes our circumstances. In everything, he has a plan. And over again in Scripture, we see him take something that Satan meant for evil and turn it around for something good. You have Joseph, right? Gets sold by his brothers. He's accused of rape. He's thrown in prison. And yet all of those things led to him being in second in command in Egypt when they went through a terrible famine. You have Pharaoh, who sent out a decree for all the baby boys, the Hebrew baby boys under two, to be killed. This led to Moses being put in a basket and sailing down the Nile and being found by an Egyptian princess and raised in the palace and his life spared, so that God could use him to lead the Hebrews out of Egypt into the promised land. the exile in Babylon, well, that put Esther in a place where she would become queen of Persia, and she would save the Jews from Haman's evil plan. And a death of a spouse, well, that brought Ruth from her hometown to where she met Boaz, got remarried, and actually became the great-great-great, I don't know how many great, grandma of Jesus. And of course, the most amazing one is sin ushered in grace. God never wastes our time. He never wastes our circumstances. And once again, he was being faithful to Paul. And Paul was not going to waste any of it either. He wasn't sitting around complaining, wondering why this was happening to him. How could God have let this happen? He knew with every part of him that he had joined the Lord's army when he got saved, and he was on a mission. He knew exactly why he was there. And I think it was Paul's perspective that enabled him to be used and to do what he did with such confidence. He didn't get bogged down in the details of everyday life. He was able to remain focused all the time on eternity. He knew that this was really a battle between good and evil that would eventually be won once and for all by Jesus Christ. But in the meantime, he had a mission, and it was to infiltrate enemy territory and tell as many people as possible about Jesus. He knew that he was in a battle. And because he had that perspective, he wasn't surprised when things went wrong. He expected it. He had his full armor on. He was alert. He was sober. He was paying attention. Unfortunately, I think today a lot of Christians have been fooled into thinking that when they become a Christian, if they're good enough, they will be able to sail right on into eternity with blessings overflowing and nothing ever bad happening, and there might even be a unicorn along the way somewhere, but things are going to be great. You just have to follow the rules, and you'll be fine. And if you don't follow the rules, well, then you might have to deal with something, but follow the rules, and nothing bad is going to happen. So you're following the rules, and wham, something happens, and you're like, what just happened? I was following all the rules. But that's not how it works. So here we have all these Christians that are, you know, putting on their fancy dresses and their sun hats, and they're boarding their luxury cruise liner to paradise, and all of a sudden they find out they're on a 38-Munson search and rescue craft headed into heavily armed territory, right? And they're knocked over. Like, what's going on? They're not prepared for it. I truly believe the enemy has been really successful at disarming the Lord's army, which is you and me, by having us focus on extreme vertical thinking. All of us, I think it's safe to say, have been raised. Stay out of trouble, get good grades, go to college, get married, make sound investments, have a couple of kids, make sure they do exactly the same, save for retirement, and then, and by the way, go to church, be a good person, love the Lord, do all that kind of stuff, but make sure you do it with a college degree. That's the most important, right? But hello, that's not at all what Jesus said. Jesus' last words when he left earth, you'll find them in Matthew chapter 20, I can't see without my glasses, 8, 19 through 20. He said, go therefore and make disciples in every nation. That's what we're supposed to be doing. That's our mission, going forth and making disciples. And Paul added in Ephesians, hey, when you go, make sure that you take up the whole armor of God, that you will be able to withstand in the day of evil. Ephesians 6:13. See, Paul understood that Jesus had given him a mission to go into enemy territory and to make disciples. 2 Timothy 2:4 says, "No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life." We're engaged in warfare, ladies. Do you have that perspective today? Because if you don't, you really need to. We need to be awake and on alert and in the Word and putting our armor on and on task so that we're not surprised when the difficulties of life come along our way. Witnessing Paul and seeing how he was going through the circumstances that God had laid out before him and sharing in Paul's perspective actually helped fellow Christians realize that they were engaged in warfare. And so it made them bold to go out and share the faith and do what they needed to do because they realized who they were. They weren't passengers on a luxury cruise. They were soldiers in the Lord's army. With the right perspective, you can withstand a lot. It's when you're not prepared, when you're not looking, when you're expecting something else, that you can get knocked over so easily. Because their perspective was correct and Paul's being arrested didn't shake them either, it actually riled them up and gave them the strength and the courage to go out there and do what needed to be done. You see, going to prison for the cause of Christ wasn't as scary, because when you know that you're engaged in warfare, you know that anything can happen. And you're ready for it. You're looking for it. And it makes you more confident. And the great thing about it all is that you know your commanding officer has sent you there. You didn't end up there by mistake. You're there because God wants you to. And who sent you? God. Not someone who's not capable. Not someone that's like, well, I don't know what to do now. But God. He knows exactly the circumstance he's sending you into and exactly how you're going to come out on the other side. And that should give you great comfort and aid you in being able to count it all joy. You see, when we have the correct perspective, we won't be completely knocked off balance when things come our way. Let's pick up in verse 15. It says, "Some indeed preach Christ even from envy and strife, and some also from goodwill. The former preach Christ from selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my chains, but the latter out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. And in this I rejoice. Yes, I will rejoice." See, when Paul went to prison, there were probably a couple of different reactions. There were some that deeply loved Paul, and they realized that there would be a gap left in his absence, and they wanted to step up and fill in and make sure that the work would go on while he was gone. And yet there were others who were more envious of Paul. You see, Paul probably was a little bit of a bigwig. You know, he probably had a little bit of a reputation. And those people thought, you know, he was the kind of guy, he was the speaker that the people called the synagogue on Sunday, and they were like, "Hey, is Paul speaking today? Because if he's not, I'm not coming." You know what I mean? Like, and here these other people were like, "Man, well, if Paul's like not on scene here, then maybe I can get some time." You know what I mean? Like, and I can make a name for myself. There was a selfish ambition there that they wanted to raise themselves up. They didn't care so much about the people. They cared more about themselves. And with Paul in prison, it would make them easier to do that. And in fact, if he was there for a while, that was even better, because the memory of him would grow dim, and then they could really come in on the scene and make a name for themselves and have some more notoriety. So anyway, Paul was very much aware of the different motives that these people had. He understood exactly where they were coming from. One was being driven out of self-ambition, the other out of love. But he really didn't care, because either way, Jesus was being talked about. and people were hearing about Jesus. Unfortunately, the same thing happens a lot in church today. There are positions in church leadership and in serving that people see as being the more important ones. And there's always those people that are clamoring to get there and into those positions, and they don't care that much about what happens to the other people along the way as long as they can get there. Now, most of the time, those are just arrogant sheep trying to get to the top. But sometimes Paul warns us that it can be wolves that are trying to do that. He says in Acts 20:29 that savage wolves would come in among the believers, not sparing the flock. And I pray today that as we sit here, that we're just a bunch of sheep, that there's no wolves here. And can I just take a minute to encourage myself as I encourage you as a fellow sheep who wants to be special, wants to be loved, that we all matter. No matter where the Lord has us serving, it matters. It's important. We have all been created for a purpose. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are the workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Long before you became a Christian, God prepared works specific for you to do, important things for you to do. God created you and he created me for good and specific works. Equally important are our missions. Actually sounded a little like Yoda there. But seriously, we don't have to be envious of each other. We're all important, and all of the things that we do fit together. If you go to Ephesians 2:18, I want you to look at this verse here. I think it really speaks to the spirit of that. Ephesians 2:19. It says, "Now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and the members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord." We're all pieces that are being fit together, but we all have to do our piece. If you're an edge piece, be an edge piece. If you're a centerpiece, be a centerpiece. But centerpieces can't be edge pieces. We have to all be our own piece and realize that they're all equally important in God's commodities. So I'm going to leave you with this verse, 2 Corinthians 4:16 through 18. "Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal." So, ladies, remember, you're on a mission. Put on your full armor of God. Go into the world and make disciples. Do not become entangled with the affairs of this life. Do not lose heart. Keep your eyes focused on Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. Be alert and know that one day this battle will be won once and for all.